Oh, come on, let's give God a shout of praise. Is that the best you got? Hey, we made it through 21 days of prayer and fasting. Glory to God. Hey, listen, if you are just joining us today, I want to say hi, welcome. My name is Michael, and I have the awesome privilege of serving as the lead pastor here at Transformation Church. And if you don't know, we give the first of our year to God, because we believe that if we give God our first and he blesses it, everything else that comes after it is something that is going to be good. And we just finished 21 days of prayer. Oh, y'all, they're not excited like I'm excited, but we just finished 21 days. And Amber Lee said it. Everybody's already said it. I think this is not the end of something. This is just the beginning. Somebody say, this is just the beginning. Come on, type it in the chat. This is just the beginning. And I really believe that our goal is to hear and obey for the rest of this year. If God asks you to continue to fast, like he has asked me to continue to fast, thank you, Lord, I'm going to listen and obey. If he's saying give up social media one day a week, or one whole week every month, or you only can be on social media for 1 week in a, like, it doesn't matter. Listen and obey. This is that season where God wants us to be anchored. And I just believe in my spirit, this is not the end of things. Somebody say, it is just the beginning. If you're excited to be in the house of God this morning, will you give God, is that the best you got? Glory to God. At home, on the treadmill, where you're at, let's give God praise. All right. If you're already seated, stay seated. If you're in here, sit down. I have a message today that I thought was going to come last week, but God wanted to let us know that he's still speaking. And I don't know, I've just heard so many testimonies this week of God just speaking to people, speaking to them in several different ways. But I believe that today I have a very unique, intentional assignment to really give you around this vision series where we're talking about being anchored. I want to give you just a really clear definition. So I need everybody to buckle your seatbelt right now. Seriously, this message is going to change everything. It's been brewing in me for a couple of weeks, and then there was more clarity given today. And I love being able to know that God is really speaking something so clearly that it shows up in my life. It shows up in other people's life. It's about to influence your life. And today we are starting week three of a series we're calling what? Anchor. Say it one more time. Anchor. I need everybody in the chat to drop like 50 anchors in the chat right now. Because we're going to be anchored in 2021. Yes, somebody said, I will be anchored. That was the biggest faith statement some of you have made all year. Because you're used to drifting. You're used to going with whatever. And I can't really get on that yet. But this is the year of anti-drift. God told us very clearly that whatever will take you off course, this year we have to be intentional to stay anchored. And so as we look at that word, I want to give you a definition, a working definition of the word anchored. An anchor is a heavy object attached to something to keep the vessel in place. What do you have in your life to keep you in place? I didn't say it had an age qualification, because some of the older saints think that you know everything. I'm grown, but you drift. I got money, but you're always drifting. And God is saying, what have you decided is going to be in your life to keep the vessel in place? And the way it keeps it in place, watch this, is either by weight or by its grip. So if you're going to be anchored to something, you got to be anchored by weight or by grip. Another definition says a source of security or stability. That's what an anchor is. It's to hold something in place. The last definition is to securely, firmly fix. What God says to us as he's telling us, I want you to be anchored, there must be a place that God wants us to stay that will allow us to be able to withstand, to be able to withhold, to be able to be in the same place no matter what comes or what goes. And the truth of the matter is that many of us, including the one speaking, if I don't have my faith fixed on something, I get distracted. Oh, are y'all gonna leave me up here by myself? Does anybody get distracted? Come on, hands up in the room, hands up in the chat. Does anybody get distracted? Some of y'all right now are watching me and something is distracting you in the room. Somebody's breath is distracting you because they just sat down. No, I'm just playing. But there's things that are distracting you. It may be a noise. It may be somebody's social media feed. It may be you looking at where you're not compared to where somebody else is. Uh-oh. And what God is saying is you need to let all the peripheral go, anything that would allow you to drift, and you need to have an anchor that allows your vessel to stay in place. I'm telling you, some of y'all been moving so much, you go on vacation to try to run to something, or you go to some type of show to try to escape something, and God says, I'm removing everything so that you can stay in place with something that will last. Somebody shout at me, anchored. So when I begin to think about this idea of anchor, you know, my mind works a little bit differently. God showed me something very clearly, and I'm going to reverse engineer my way into anchored today. This is the first point I want you to write down. When I think about an anchor and why it's needed and where it's needed, I think about a boat and a ship, and I think about sea, and I think about an ocean. And the thing that came to my mind as soon as I started to study this is God spoke to me and said, Michael, it's not safer in the shallow. It's not safer in the shallow. Now, I started to think about this, and God says, if I told you the word is anchored, you do not need an anchor in shallow waters. So if I'm saying the word is for you to be anchored, that means your shallow Christianity, your shallow faith, your little bit of obedience is not what I'm calling you to, because I would not supply you with a prophetic word like anchored and you were supposed to stay in the shallow. See, the problem is right now is all of us are yelling anchored in the kiddie pool. Can I show you? This is what our Christianity looks like. It looks like, God, I want more. I need you to do a great work in me. And all you doing is living in the kiddie pool. It may look like I'm surrounded and I'm surrounded by you. Woo! Hey! Oh, God, I feel it. And God said, you don't need an anchor here because you're in control here. You don't need an anchor here. It's not deep enough for you to need me to be your anchor. Right here, you still get to make the decisions. Right here, you still get to define the relationships that are good for you or not. Right here, you get to decide what city you get to go to. And I'm being my best self. And God said, you're not deep enough. It is not safer in the shallow. And what we do is get in our little Christian clubs and we start getting all of our Christian toys and we start getting all of our noodles and we come out and we get our Bible reading plans and our journals and we come in here going deep in God this year. This is what you look like. I just finished 21 days of prayer and fasting. And God said, all you prayed about was your situation. Oh no, but I want to be anchored in God. All my friend groups is in the shallow. God, do a deep work in me. He said, you're not in enough. You're not deep enough. And may I submit to you, this is what the church looks like. We look goofy. Asking God to do big things with shallow water. We don't need an anchor when the water is so shallow. We don't need an anchor if we can decide how wet we get. Well, Pastor Mike, you up here looking a mess. This is how you look every day going to work. This is how you do relationship. And you think can't nobody see it? You toting around your Bible and talking about how great God has been in your life and all that. And God said, you've been too shallow though. If God told us as a church, the word for the year is what? Anchor. It's what? That means it's not safer in the shallow. Wherever you've been shallow, wherever you've not let God take you deeper, wherever you've decided. See, this is the crazy thing. The shallow is all about control. Have you ever met somebody who can't swim, but will still go to the pool or the beach? Where do they hang out? In the shallow end. Why? Because in the shallow, I can be around what is making everybody wet, but not have to give up control. I'm talking to somebody right now who thinks that just coming to church and logging on is enough, but you're still in the shadow. You won't give God your tithe. You still want to be in control. You won't commit to a small group. You still want to be in control. I don't want nobody to know all that about me. I don't want nobody. And God says it's not safer in the shallow. Well, they don't know what I did. They don't know who I've been. God said, but I do. And I know everything about you. And I know if you would just come out a little deeper. I know if you would just come out a little deeper, I could get you into a place that you get to see things and be things that were never possible. But what you doing? Cannonballing into the shallow. I'm sick of the kiddie pool Christianity. And what we want to do is invite our friends to this. What we want to do is have relationships in this. What we want to do is reach our purpose and calling in the kiddie pool. This does not have the capacity to hold what God has made me to be. This does not have the capacity. The shallow does not have the capacity. I can't backstroke in the kiddie pool. I can't reach my purpose in the kiddie pool. I cannot be able to do certain things in the kiddie pool. And you think it's better because you can't drown in the kiddie pool. So the spirit of fear has gripped you so much that you would rather stay in a place that you feel like you can control instead of letting God take you deeper. He told me so clearly. He said, Michael, it's not safer in the shallow. And I'm prophetically telling somebody right now that you are about to move from the shallow. Just doing your Bible reading plan's not gonna be enough in 2021. Going to the club on the weekends and dressing like a thought and then coming and doing all of this stuff. You're too shallow, baby. Walking around letting everybody think you a player and you wanna not really be married, but what God desired for you is to be a man of valor and a man of victory and a man that sets a generational pattern. He's saying it's too shallow where you're at. And every pastor who's preaching so that people can come back, it's too shallow where you're at. If everybody leaves this stream and I do what God called me to do, it's okay. We'll be all right in the deep. But 2021, we're leaving the kiddie pool. Somebody needs to type that right now. We're leaving the kiddie pool. Somebody say, I'm leaving the kiddie pool. It's uncomfortable, actually, to have this, all of this water on me right now, and still I'm functioning as if I've actually been submerged or subdued. I'm actually just damp right now. There's like squashy stuff in my shoes. And it's crazy because this is what the world sees. The world sees footprints like we've been with him. It looks like I've been with him. The footprints of what's happening looks like I got a real relationship with him. I posted every 21 day in prayer graphic, and so it looks like I've been with him. But the proof that I've fully given my life to be submerged, my head has to go under. See, the difference between the kiddie pool and the deep waters is that your mind, your head. See, everything that you're dealing right now is going here. This acts because of this. Oh, can I be real? This head down here acts because of this head. These hands act because of this head. All of my actions line up with my head. And if God has your whole body and not your head, if you've been in shallow enough water to still tippy-toe your way into your own opinion and into your own idea, ain't got no scriptural basis for nothing, but this is how I feel. And God said, this is the year of submission. What a swimmer has to do to water is submit to it. What a boat does to water is submit to it. And what I'm encouraging you right now, the shallow is overrated. It reminds me of Luke 5:4, when Jesus was preaching, and it says he stepped into one of the boats, and then Jesus asked Simon, like he's going to ask you. He asked the owner. See, God's not going to do anything. The greatest thing that God gave you was choice. Everybody say choice. That he's not going to violate your choice in this situation. That's why some of you have been 13 years in the kiddie pool. Some of y'all are great and got kids, and you've led them to think that a kiddie pool Christianity is the way to do it. What I'm telling you is, yeah, your eternity is secure, but your history now has been stifled because you just worried about going to heaven in your Christianity of the kiddie pool. And God's saying, but I want to use you right now in this day and age. And he's saying to all of us, like he said to Simon Peter, he said, push it out into the water. Like, come off the shore. And I just believe that is my mandate today, to ask you in the first month of 2021, will you please push this thing out from the seashore? Will you come out of the shallow? Verse 4, it says, when he had finished speaking, this one always messes me up. So he pushed out. Simon, like many of you, even that did this 21 days of prayer and fasting, are people who have decided to give a tenth to God of every part of your increase, are those who decided to be generous and serve with your time, are those who are deciding, I'm not going to miss the Sunday, or when we do small groups, I'm going to get involved. Like those who are, you pushed out from the shore, but then it challenges us. I always thought it was a push off, and then they were in the deep. No. He said, push it out into the water. So we sat in the boat, and he taught the crowds from there. When he was finished speaking, he said to Simon again, now go out where it is deeper. God, I thought I did enough. I pushed out and you spoke. And then he said, I'll speak again. And when I speak again, the only word I'm going to say is deeper. Somebody say deeper. And I know that scares some people right now, because you're thinking like, well, what does that mean? It's the point. When you go deeper, only God can control the circumstances. Today, God is telling us to go, everybody say deeper. If you're taking notes, the title of this message is It's Not Safer in the Shallow. Because I started looking at all this kiddie pool Christianity that's going on, and it took me back to Psalms 42 when David made this statement. He said, deep calls to deep. In the roars of your waterfall, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. This is the thing. David was in a place where he was lamenting, and he was thinking about all the crazy things that were going on in his life, and David said, the deep hole in me. Yeah. is calling out for the deep fullness of you. Some of y'all have gone to counselor after counselor. You've gone to drug after drug. You've gone to escape after escape. And the deep cavern that's in your soul, I'm about to preach this thing, is calling and crying out for the deep fullness of God. But you will not get overwhelmed in the shallow. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? An anchor is only needed in the deep. Don't yell anchor no more. Don't tattoo it. Don't post it if you're going to stay in the shallow. If God gave us the word anchored at the top of 2021, that means we got to go deeper. Hebrews 6, 1. This confirms what I'm saying. It says, therefore, could we just move beyond the shallow? Could we move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and being taken forward into maturity? Not laying again the foundations of repentance from acts that lead to death and to faith in God? Can I break down what this is saying? That the first step to you learning how to go deeper is to get in the kiddie pool. And God says, now this is going to offend some people's whole theology. God says that literally salvation and faith are kiddie pool Christianity. He's saying at some point we have to acknowledge our eternity is secure. I've put my faith in Jesus. And I have faith in him. And this is where most Christians stay their entire life. Oh, I messed up this weekend. Uh-oh, but I'm saved again. Uh-oh, I messed this up. And God says, you are playing in the kiddie pool. Could we move past the elementary teachings, the foundational? It's a foundational thing. It is necessary. It is a thing. But every Sunday in pulpit after pulpit after pulpit, all we do is pacify people who want to decide this week to get out of the kiddie pool and decide this week that I want to get in. This week I'm going to post my buns and do a busted challenge like this. But this week I want to be holy. And this week I want to tell my friends and family to live a certain way. And this week I want to be all about the money. God is saying, could we move past this elementary stuff and go deeper? Can we push out? And today I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about going deeper. And this is what I want to say. If you're going to go deep, your anchor, you have to drop it low. Some of y'all been dropping it low all week. I seen the busted challenge. I seen y'all. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about dropping the anchor of your life low. I'm talking about, like, right now, if I had an anchor, where's that little just anchor that I just want to show you something real quick. This is a small depiction of what some of us look like in our life and look like around in everything that we're doing. When we have an anchor in the shallow end of our life, we cannot drop it low. We can't bring it to a plate. Listen, this right here is the anchor. There's nowhere for it to go in the shallow. What God has called you to is not supposed to stop at salvation. What God has called you to is not supposed to stop at having faith. What God has called you to is not supposed to stop with you just being saved. What God has called us to is not supposed to just stop at Tulsa, Oklahoma. What God has called us to is not supposed to just stop in my prayer closet. I gotta drop it low. I'm just trying to build the case that the shallow's not sexier. The shallow's not safer. Everybody say, into the deep. Say it again, into the deep. Why are you saying that, Pastor Mike? Because the depths of your life need the depths of his love. Every place in me that is still broken as the pastor of the church. The depths of my life, the places that I don't want to talk about, the places I don't even want my counselor to know about. Come on, can we be real? The insecurities that have been there sludging around for decades. That depth of my life needs the depths of his love. And the only way you can drop an anchor low is in the deep. So I'm going to give you just 4 points that you need to know when it comes to having and needing an anchor. The first point, I want you to write it down. You need an anchor. Somebody say, I need an anchor. Ephesians 4:11. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, everybody on Transformation Church staff to equip his people. So we're not here to do the work for you. We're here to give you the tools to do the work. I did a series last year called Who's the Minister Here? And so many people, if I said, who's the minister here? Y'all would point at me if we were all in an arena. But I would dare say, according to this scripture, if we ask who's the minister here, everybody say, I'm the minister. Come on, raise your hand, say, I'm the minister. Oh my goodness, that means God factored in your crazy. He factored in your experience or lack thereof. He factored in your flaws, and he still said, yeah, I'm gonna put them in a church situation, and I'm gonna give them Pastor Mike, and I'm gonna give them Pastor Bree and Pastor Barbara and Pastor Charles and the team. And what we're gonna do through the Bible reading plan and through small groups and through all these different mechanisms, we're gonna give them the ability to be equipped. Equipped for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son and become, oh, here's that word again, mature. Like, again, the shallow end in that other scripture is for us to know that we have to be maturing. That means we have to come out of the kiddie pool, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Remember, I just said the depths of our life need the fullness, the depths of his love. Until we experience that, look at verse 14, bring special attention. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Can I tell you something that really, really, really kind of bothers me today? Because right now, everybody's a prophet of God. Everybody has a platform. Everybody, as long as you got a camera and you got a YouTube connection, somebody's watching, somebody's hearing you, you have to have no validity. We don't know what you're anchored to. We don't know anything. But what ends up happening is that creates a difficulty for people who are not anchored to something sure, because then you can get tossed to and fro. You can listen to me and then scroll up and see somebody that does Hinduism or Buddhism and think that it's the same thing, and you're tossed to and fro from a motivational speaker to a mogul, and you think it's the same thing as God's word, and you're being tossed to and fro. God gives you a word to be anchored, and your favorite celebrity says grind, hustle, do all, and you're tossed to and fro. And what God told me, he said, write this point down. The anti-anchor is immaturity. He's literally telling us, we got to come out of the kiddie pool. We got to go into the deep. We have to mature. And we cannot rely on our immature thinking, our immature responses, our immature feelings. You're going to know that you're not being anchored when you act like a kid this year. When God tells you to do something and you... when somebody talks about you and you go right back to talking about them back. An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. I'm not turning the other cheek. I'm going to smack the other cheek. And God said, oh, that's what immature people do. That's what people who aren't anchored in me. See, the reason that people are tossed back and forth is because they are not tied to something that has enough weight. The crazy thing about this is I'm going to give you our anchor scripture. We were in Hebrews at the top, but I'm going to drop you down to verse 19. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 19. This is our anchor scripture. This is the first scripture God took me to when he gave me the word that we were supposed to be anchored. He said, we have this hope as believers. As an anchor for our soul. Do you know what your soul is? God says, I will give you an anchor for your mind, your will, and your emotions. That is firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, here's our anchor, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become our high priest or our anchor forever in the order of Melchizedek. What I'm trying to tell you is what you are anchored to is not about the intention, but it's all about the integrity. Okay. The great thing about everybody and this word anchored is all of you are already anchored to something. Like some of us are anchored to television. Some of us are anchored to success. Others of us are anchored to what our idea is of the future. Some of us are anchored to what we desire and what we want. And what God is saying is if you don't realize and understand that it doesn't matter if the intention was good, if it does not have the weight to hold you up, it does not have the integrity to be your anchor. It's hard to really get you to understand this without showing you. So I'm going to show you right now. I'm about to get anchored to something. And I'm a married man that wants to put my faith in the relationship that I have. But the crazy thing about any relationship we'll have on this earth, it does not have the integrity to hold me up. So it doesn't matter if I met that person when we were all both in the same place and we didn't know God and we grew together and we were firm believers and then we got married and we had a kid. It doesn't matter. The intention is everybody wants their relationship to hold them up. The problem is when the weight of life comes to my life and when I have to put tension on the relationship, what ends up happening is I get disappointed. Because that did not have the integrity to hold me up. I'll give you another example. Some of y'all have put your worth in your dream. You have put success as the thing that you're gonna be anchored to. So as long as I make this much money by this time and have this house and this car, and that's why people who have millions of dollars will put a trigger up to their head and put pills in their mouth because what they tied to and told everybody, this is what I wanted since I was 7, when the weight of life comes. It disappoints because it does not have the integrity to hold me up. The reason you need an anchor is because what you've been tied to doesn't have the integrity to hold you up. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it was for me. The picture perfect life, the life where everything was good. I was anchored to the idea of being Michael Todd, whatever that meant. And as long as I could be Michael Todd, I'd be able to be held up through life. And you know the funny thing is, I became Michael Todd at the same time I found out my son had autism. And when I was trying to hold on to being Michael Todd, and hold my marriage together and come out and preach for everybody. And when the weight of life and the storm of life started raging, when I needed something to hold me up. And this is how many of us look today. Tired. Frustrated. Broken. Hurting. Ready to give up. And this is what we do. We let go of the anchor. And now we're out here in the sea of life, drifting. Your marriage is on this boat. Your children are on this boat. You used to hear God, but now all you hear is the waves. You're so sick of the worship songs. You're done with the idea of hope. And the problem is that the integrity of what you were tying yourself to from the very beginning did not have enough weight to hold you up. You need an anchor. Somebody say, I need an anchor. I got good news for you. Write down this point. You have an anchor. See, this is the beautiful thing about it. God is the only one that meets supply and demand. He tells you what you need, but then he gives it to you. You need an anchor, but somebody say, I have an anchor. Look what Hebrews 12:1 says. Ooh, I love the word of God. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles us. Y'all thought Jada came up with entanglement. Nope, it was the Bible. And it says, lay that entanglement aside and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Somebody say, I have a race. It has nothing to do with the person next to you. It has nothing to do with your team. I have a race that's already marked out for me. It says, fixing our eyes on who? Jesus. When I fix my eyes on an anchor that can hold, his name is Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of my faith. My anchor. Somebody say, my anchor. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father, of the throne of God. Consider him our anchor, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God said, if you feel like the person that is just laid out on the bed of life and you're weary, God said, I went to the cross just for you. I know you would need an anchor. 2,000 years ago, I saw you in 2021 about to give up. And so when they beat me and they scourged me and they used spit to mock me, I could have called angels to come and rescue me, but I saw Aaron, and I saw Jay, and I saw Caleb, and I saw Bree, and I saw Brad, and God saw, put your name in there. Come on, say it. What's your name? And God saw, what's your name? And God saw, what's your name? And when he saw you, he said, I have to be their anchor so that they will not grow weary and lose heart. Can I make it so plain? Jesus is our anchor. Like, oh, we're anchored, not to just anything. Because if it doesn't have the integrity to hold me up, I'm going to fall anywhere. But anyway, but somebody say, I'm anchored to Jesus. Say it with your chest. I'm anchored to Jesus. See, the crazy thing about when you actually find an anchor that holds, when I anchored my life to Jesus, I could live in a manner that did not have to have a safety net. See, when I was anchored to something that I wasn't sure was going to hold me up, I had to make sure I had something close to me that would make me feel better when I fail. That's what alcohol is for some of y'all. That's what being addicted to the likes. So when I fail in life, if I get enough likes, if I fail in life, if I make another deal, if I fail in life, but my kids do good, you gotta have something to make you feel better about the fall. But when you're anchored to something that's sure, something that's steady, when the life comes to me, I can lean all my weight on it. I don't feel like preaching this Sunday. I don't feel like being a husband this Sunday. I'm leaning, I wanna fall, but something is holding me up. I wanna let go, but something's holding on. Woo! And when I fall, because things happen, I can get. Oh, y'all thought that wasn't planned? The Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times. But he gets back up again. I'm about to preach this thing. So I fell, and I wanted to let go, but it didn't let go of me. Can somebody thank God that you have an anchor that won't let go of you? Some of y'all acting too bougie right now, like you got yourself here, but I thank God that Jesus is my anchor. In 2020, I wanted to give up, but I had a hold of something that had a hold of me. And I don't know who I'm talking to you right now, but somebody's feeling like they're about to let go. But I'm so tangled up, tied up in this thing, that even if I take my hands off of it, whoo, even if I'm not holding it no more, it's still holding me up. Somebody said, I have an anchor. And his name is Jesus. Can we give God a 5-second praise right now? If he is the anchor that doesn't let go. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Uh-oh. Not just that I need an anchor. And not just that I have an anchor. And Jesus is my anchor. This says that if I'm in Christ, I should stand firm and let nothing move me. That sounds like an anchor to me. And always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What I found out is because we have an anchor, we can be an anchor. See, the crazy thing about it is that many of us are the anchor that is going to hold people who are far from Christ until they have the ability to encounter him. You missed it. You thought this was about you. This is about your coworker that gets on your nerves. This is about that cousin you don't even want to invite to the family reunion. This is about that uncle. God said, the reason I need you to be anchored to me is because when you're anchored to me, then you can become an anchor for somebody else. Somebody say, I am an anchor. I am an anchor. See, the crazy thing about it is when I'm in the storm of my life, but I'm connected to Jesus, Charles can come up and be in the storm of his life. And because I'm anchored to something that's gonna hold, he might be dealing with something, but neither one of us are going down. Ah, because we're anchored to something that is stronger than both of us. Bella, come here. Come here real quick, baby. I need you. I need you to jump on daddy's back, because this is what God is calling us to do. Just jump on my back. Yeah. See, I have to be an anchor for my family. And she's not old enough to know how to hold on to Jesus for herself. But I can hold on to my anchor and still be an anchor for somebody else. God is saying the reason why you have to be anchored is because the generations. Need somebody to hold on to Jesus. What would happen if I let my daughter out in the sea of life and I didn't show her how to have an anchor in Jesus? Charles and Arlo and Abby and Natalie and my child that's not even here yet are depending on me to stay anchored to Jesus. And my question is, who is depending on you? Thank you, baby. To be anchored so that at a time where their life is wavering, at a time when they, this is real for us, Charles, ain't it? Like people, this is not a story. when God put me in Pastor Charles' life and when Charles decided to shut down Eden and he listened and obeyed and he stepped out of the shallow and he did something that nobody his age was doing and he came and put his head under or submitted to the vision and he went to the deep. He served 6 months with no job and no title, with a family, didn't get a dollar. And God told him to anchor to this. Come here. And what ended up happening is when he anchored, and because I had made a decision to be anchored to Jesus, what happened was last year the enemy tried to come attack him. You even heard it probably in one of the messages he spoke about where he's thinking about committing suicide and all of these things that the devil tried to, I hate the devil, tried to convince him of because of how many people are tied to him. And what God did in that moment, because I was anchored to him, watch this. He was in a deep, dark place a few months ago. And I was able to hold on to Jesus. And I was able to pull. And at 2 a.m., I was by his bedside, singing and praying over him like he was my child. And now he's doing better than ever because I was anchored. And now he is anchored. And now somebody else can be anchored to him. I'm telling you, when you allow God to be anchored, then you can be an anchor. Who's drifting because you're not tied to the right thing? Who's drifting because you're still in the shallow? Who's drifting because you won't decide to push off and go into the deep? God told me so clearly. He said, Michael, you need an anchor. You have an anchor. You are an anchor. And write this last step, point down. Together, we be the anchor. As a church, if we could be ones that stayed anchored to Jesus and stayed anchored to each other, we be the anchor for the world. See, you missed it. You thought it was about the church being okay. The reason why I believe God shut down all these churches is because he needed us in the world. He didn't need us in this Christian club of anchored people, and we have our official anchored badge, and we're so I need you. They the one drowning. I came to seek and to save those who are lost. They're just drowning. What God's asking us to do, Transformation Church, I don't know what the mandate is for everybody else's church. But for this church this year, how we're going to represent is we're going to grab a hold of Jesus, our anchor. And we're going to try to tie as many people as we can to us. Uh-oh, you thought I were going to say to Jesus. See, the problem is they're going to meet us before they meet him. And I know, I mean, I wish we could bypass people and just get them to Jesus. But he does nothing on this earth without human, I want to say interaction, but it really is interference. He does nothing without human interference. It would be so much easier just to be like, this is Jesus, this is him, and step out of the way. But they see how you live. And they see how you act. And they see how you love. And they see if you're on time for work. And they see if you do what you say. God is saying, I need my church. Why community? Why small groups? Why come back every week? Why tithe? Why give? It's because together, somebody say, we be the anchor. I saw this thing. You know, a lot of black people can't swim and stay away from water. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm starting a swimming club for all the Afro-Americans out there. White people, you can chuckle. It's okay. there's some systemic things that go back to that. They didn't teach us how to swim, because if we could have swum, we could have got away from plantations. And so what it ended up happening is we were made to be afraid of water, because if we could have actually conquered water, then we would have been able to be closer to our freedom. And so generations later, it's almost Black History Month, so I guess I'll just give you some education. But generations later, it's now a systemic thing that people in their mind, like Black people, will go to the pool with socks and sandals on, with no plan on getting in the water. We'll take our shirt off by swimming trunks, do everything, but we stay in the shallow. And I'm scared to say that that may be the condition that not just our physical is in, but our spiritual is in. But over the course of my life, one thing that I've done is I've tried to break stereotypical barriers in my life. And so when I was younger and all my white friends were going to the lake, like Black people don't go to the lake. Like that's not like what you doing this weekend, going to the lake? Like none of us do that. Like, and so I saw my white friends going to the lake and I was like, why y'all don't invite me to the lake? And they was like, we didn't know you did that. And I was like, I don't, but I will now. And so they started taking me to the lake. And then this past year I went with my friend John. He wanted to go to the lake for his birthday, and it was about four or five of us. And one thing I saw is I saw all these boats in the middle of the water. And I said, what is going on? He said, oh, they're having a boat party. And I was like, explain. You know, when you don't know anything, like a boat party, explain. And they were like, well, what happens is one boat drops their anchor. And then the other boats anchored to that boat. And what they try to do is see how many boats can pull up, and people can walk from boat to boat, meeting people they've never met before, having drinks with people they've never had before, making business deals, because they were all anchored together. This is a picture of what it looks like to have a boat party. When people who don't know each other come in contact and pass, it is an open invitation for any boat in the water. Not the boats who have been through this certification, not the religious boats, not the boats who have completed seminary, not the boats who have, y'all better hear what I'm saying, read between the lines, not the boats who don't have tattoos, not the boats who didn't live in a homosexual lifestyle, all the boats. Any boat could come and anchor to the next boat. And they would stay there for hours, knowing that no matter if a storm came or whatever happened, they would all stay afloat because they were anchored. May I submit that this is what the body of Christ is supposed to look like in this year of 2021, when the waves are trying to ravage people. When stuff from racial tension all the way to political unrest to all kinds of stuff, and God's saying, I need my church to be somebody who drops their anchor and say, no matter what y'all try to do, we anchored to something that's not gonna let us go. And I think the Bible says it like this: whosoever, whoever you are, come, get tied to me so that you can see that this won't fail, so that you can eventually say, I don't wanna just be tied to you, I want to be tied to Jesus. This has become a life message for me. I didn't understand it at the time, but about 3 years ago, I was holding my daughter, Ava. She had just been born. And at that moment, I was sitting in my office, and we got a call. I just heard my wife crying, and we had MJ tested, and we found out that he had autism. And at that moment, everything I was anchored to failed. The amount of money in the bank didn't hold me up. The fact that our church had grown didn't hold me up. The friends that I thought were gonna be there, all that other stuff, they were great, but they didn't hold me up.
And I was crying out to God sitting at the piano. And I said, God, what are you doing? I said, save me. My wife is hurting. I'm trying to be strong to say my son will never speak words. It could go into this and that and do all of this other stuff. And God told me so clearly, he said, Michael, I'm not just the God who wants to save you. I'm the God who will sustain you. And I said, what? He said, Michael, he said, an anchor isn't just to save you from the storm. An anchor is to sustain you through the storm. And as I sat there in that moment, crying, broken, hurting, everything around me had failed. And God said, but I'm still holding you. And when I wanted to just give up, he said, I'll sustain you. I sat down at the piano. And I begin to play from the depths, like David said, of my emptiness. I needed the depths of his love. How is this going to happen? Is he going to ever go to school? Is he going to get married? Will he have any friends? I said, God, give me an answer. He said, I'll sustain you. What happens when God says, drop your anchor on me? I'm not going to tell you when the storm ends. I'm not going to tell you what changes are coming. But I promise you, I'll sustain you through the storm. And I begin to pin these words. I just said, you sustain. You sustain. In the middle of it all, you remain the same. Through the rain, you still reign. You sustain. And over, every birthday he's had, every time the ministry would grow, but his speech would deteriorate, I didn't look at what I saw. I remembered what he said. And I held firmly, and I'm holding firmly right now, to my anchor, and my anchor has a name. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the beginning and the end. That means he knows what's happening in the middle, and he is our anchor who will sustain. We weren't supposed to do this for a couple weeks, but I knew at the end of this message that we needed to sing this song. We needed to release this song into the earth. And we needed to sing this. I wrote this song 3 years ago in the depths of a pit. But right now I believe it's going to be the thing that allows you to tie your hope to. This hope I have as an anchor to my soul. God, thank you for sustaining us. Come on, hands lifted all over the world. God, thank you for sustaining me. Whatever it is, in the middle of it, no matter how much the storm is raging, no matter with the rain coming down, you still reign. You sustain. Let's worship together.
Holding on to your word is the light in the dark. Seasons come, people change, but you were there at the start. You won't leave at this part. 'Cause when my heart fails in the faith, I know I find strength. You alone, you sustain. You sustain in the middle of it all. You remain the same through the rain. Still you reign, you sustain. You sustain, you sustain. In the middle of it all, you remain the same through the rain. Still you reign, you sustain. We'll be right back.
Somebody to say that part. Your promises always come true. Not dependent on me, but relying on you. Your mercies are new every day. So I will try. Sing that again. Your promises
always come true.
Not dependent on me.
So I
in a faith statement, because your ankles say, I will trust you.
I will trust.
Wherever you are right now, I want you to stand up, lift your hands. This is not to us, this is to God. Tell him, I will trust. Even when I'm holding the thing that I can't change, somebody declare, say,
I
feel the presence of God. Over your business, over the situation, over the thing that's on the inside, somebody say,
I
feel a stirring coming. Somebody's faith is coming. Somebody say, I will trust you. Hey,
I will trust.
Somebody's faith is being anchored in Jesus. We're taking our anchor off of everything that won't last. Voices, everybody just say,
you sustain, you sustain, in the middle of it all, you remain the same through the rain, still you reign, you sustain,
say you sustain,
you sustain.
I feel that thing.
You sustain.
My anchor, my anchor. My anchor. Come on. He's my anchor. Say. This is how some of y'all gonna worship.
Feel that.
Woo!
You
sustain. Yes, sir.
Wonder.
You
not depending on me, but relying
on my anchor.
Your mercies are new every day.
So I will trust you.
So I will trust.
Hands lifted everywhere. I declare and I believe that today we have decided that it's not safer in the shallow. That we're going deep. And that's why we need an anchor. And Father God, we need an anchor. We have an anchor. Jesus is our anchor. We are an anchor in you. And that's the church together. We be that anchor. Father, I declare that whatever people have been anchored to that has been failing them, that today they disconnect. I even hear prophetically, there are some friend groups that you have to let go of because you've been anchored to y'all relationship more than your relationship with God. There's some ideas, some plans, some vision that you're going to have to take your anchor off of. I know you had a plan. At 26, I'm going to be married. At 29, I'm going to have my first kid. At 32, we're going to be millionaire. Like you had, take your anchor off of that and attach it to Jesus. I declare that every distraction that has tried to make us drift, you have been served an eviction notice. That today we are anchored to Jesus. Somebody say, I am anchored to Jesus. And I will trust you. That may be the most profound thing that you say. Just lift your hands and say, God, I will trust you. Yeah, God, I'll trust you. Wherever you are, in your home, watching this on rebroadcast, say, God, I'll trust you. I'll trust you, God. Woo! In the middle. How many of you are in the middle of something right now? Your response is, God, I trust you. You know the beginning from the end. You're my source. You're my strength.
And I will trust you.
Just say,
I will trust you.
Something's happening to somebody right now. Their faith is being increased right now. Right there in the middle. You're not going to drown. You're not going to drift because you're anchored. Hey, I feel that thing right now. Somebody say,
I will.
Woo! Y'all better not push me because I feel the presence of God coming in this place. I will.
Woo!
I'm going to be anchored. I'm going to stay firm. I'm going to believe in you, God. Said, I will. Watching right now, and you have been one that's been drifting, and you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Right now, I'm asking you to make the one decision that will change everything in your life. It's the thing that took me from being a liar, a manipulator. I was addicted to pornography. I was addicted to success. And it made me put my faith in something that actually could sustain me. And some of you have been drifting. You got money, or you got notoriety, or you got the relationship, or you feel like you don't have anything at all, and you've been drifting. But God is saying today, take a hold of me, the anchor that will be steady, the rock of your salvation. And today I want to offer you the greatest gift, to be anchored to Jesus. According to Romans 10:9, it says all you have to do is believe by faith that Jesus Christ went on that cross so when you were weary, you would not drown. Said you believe that he lived and he died and he rose again with all power. Said you're saved. Religion will tell you, well, confess everything you've done and you can't do this into this. You can't do this. Listen, God is saying to you right now, he said, I'll take you with your habits. I'll take you with your hangups. I'll take you with your bad hobbies. He said, I'm the only one that if you give me your heart, I'll help you change your habits. Today, I don't know who this is for, But today is the day of salvation. If you feel like you've been drifting, if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, or you did a long time ago, but you've been living contrary, today you need to repent. And all that word means is turn. You've been going this way, and now you need to turn. Or you've been going this way, and now you need to turn and grab a hold of an anchor that is sure and steady. And I'm telling you, this is what your life is going to look like when you accept Jesus. On the count of three, if that's you, wherever you are, I want you to lift your hand. Well, nobody's around. It doesn't matter. It's just an act of faith that God sees. Even if I don't see it, even if somebody's around you, God wants you to know that He wants you to decide for this. He's not forcing you to do this. Love can't be love if it's forced. Love has to be a decision. And what God wants from you is a decision. Today is your moment. If you want to make Jesus Christ your anchor or your Lord and Savior, I feel like people are about to get saved from all over this world. I feel that thing. I don't know where you're from, and I don't know if you're watching it at 2 a.m. or you're watching it at 2 p.m., but God said, now, today is the day of your salvation. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm proud of you, but more than that, your name is going to be written in the Lamb Book of Life. Three, lift your hand up all over this world. Oh, I feel somebody is getting an anchor. Somebody's getting an anchor. Now at Transformation Church, nobody prays alone. Nobody prays alone. So there are tens of thousands of people that are about to pray with you. You may be in an apartment and somebody in three apartments down is watching this and they're about to be praying with you in your location right there. Oh yeah, that's how our God works. Y'all know that. I want us to all just lift our hands and say this together. God, thank you for being my anchor. Today, I give you control of my life. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again to save my life. So today, take over. I give you the ugly parts of me. I give you the depths of me. Thank you for your love. Change me, renew me, sustain me, transform me. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, can we give God praise? Oh, I said, can we give God praise? I said, can we get... People's lives have been changed. I do not want to stop. There's a sweet anointing in this place. I hope you feel it in your home. And it doesn't have to stop because we're going off the broadcast. Create an atmosphere. God will sustain you right now. Put on worship music. Begin to, I don't know, we're going to sing this again next week. This is going to be our anthem during being anchored, that God will sustain us no matter the storm. Somebody say, you sustain. Through the rain, you still reign, you sustain. Just say that one more time. Through the rain.
Through the rain.
Still you reign.
Still you reign.
You sustain.
You sustain.
This week it might rain on your situation. Like, it's okay, because you can say,
through the rain,
you still reign.
Still you reign. You sustain.
Just one more time before we leave. Somebody say, through the rain. Still you reign.
Still you reign. You sustain.
Let me pray for you. You do not want to miss next week. God's already given me the message. This anchored series, y'all, we about to act a fool until God tells me to quit, but it's going to anchor the rest of this year. And dare I say, the rest of your life. Invite everybody else. Remember, you have to be an anchor. How will they know if you don't tell them? This week, I want you to share this message with as many people as you can. Share it with your family members. There's going to be an anointing on this thing for salvations. Watch what I say. Mark my words. God's about to do something that nothing else was able to do. He's going to do it. Because He wants people to know it's time to be anchored and He'll sustain us. Father, I pray for Transformation Nation. I pray, Father, even as people that just got saved, text this number. Father, as we give them resources, I thank you that you're going to sustain them. I thank you that your promises always come true. God, today we have decided to be anchored. Father, I thank you for every person that is divorcing the shallow of their life, the petty of their life, the immaturity of their life. And I thank you that we'll be anchored in you. I declare that this will be the best week of our life. Even as we have finished this 21 days of fasting, we have not finished being close to you. So today I thank you for the beginning of a thing. Father, I thank you for discipline and discipleship. Father God, and closeness and devotion raising up in this church, Father. Bigger is not always better, but stronger is, anchored is, Father. And so we are thanking you that our church is getting anchored, that we eat good food from the word, that we get nourished in our spirit man's, and that we will be everything you've called us to be. Father, give us favor as we walk through this week. And no matter what comes up this week, I thank you that we will be anchored in you. In Jesus' name. Somebody's pulling on me. There's three people that have a horrible doctor's report. I need y'all to pray. I feel this so strong. You have they've almost made it like there's no hope. And God says, whose report are you going to believe? And we're going to anchor our faith on Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray. It's something serious right now. I need us to stretch our faith. This may not be for you, but I need us as a church. This is how we anchor to each other. We've been in 21 days of prayer and fast, and I don't know what you expected. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against the negative report, Father God, that has tried to be final for somebody. We put our hope. I need y'all to help me right now. We will trust you. I feel that thing right now. Father, the negative report, I even call out. Father, I pray for Oscar P in the name of Jesus. Father, the diagnosis of cancer. Father, whoever else is dealing with something, I believe right now in the name of Jesus that you stop this whole thing, because our prayers will shift things right now. The fervent, effectual prayers of righteous people, they work. I come against every negative, wrong doctor's report, Father. I thank you for supernatural healing in the name of Jesus. Not in just the physical, but in the mental. I thank you for mental healing, emotional healing. Father, we declare that we will trust you. We will not let whatever the enemy meant for evil to come and destroy and distract what God is trying to do in our lives. And I declare healing and wholeness over every person under the sound of my voice. And we're making a faith statement that we will trust you. Somebody say, I will trust you. Come on, say that. I will trust you. Say, come on, declare it. In the middle of it, right when I don't have a good report, somebody declare. Whoa. Somebody, come on, let's turn up one more time. I dare you to just say, I will trust you. Say, this week, we're going to believe the report of the Lord. Somebody say, I will trust you.
I will trust you.
No matter what ways come, no matter what comes my way,
I will trust you.
I feel the presence of God invading this place right now. Somebody say, I will. Last time, you sustain. Say,
you sustain.
Thank you, Lord.
You sustain.
We trust you, God.
In the middle of it all, you remain the same through the rain. Still you reign. You sustain.
Go out this week and live a transformed life. We love you, and we know God's going to sustain you. Amen. Let's give God one shout of praise.